Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It seems all three times. One is called Hadithun Nafs means the mind was engaged in something, and then you see a dream. Like, for example, there is a wedding, right? It's going on, and you saw Manjara's van, right? Or you saw a catering company, and you saw their tents, etc. Or you saw a wedding ring. You saw some bangles and jewelry. So really it's got no meaning, because your mind was engaged, occupied in a marriage. So what you were engaged in, that's what you had seen. That's why they say that you are sending a proposal and you're making an istikhara simultaneously. So it mustn't be that you're heavily involved in some type of a love triangle, or you consume the love of that girl and then you're making istikhara. Because the possibility is that that girl has occupied your mind. When it's occupied your mind, then that's what you're going to see. So the marriage didn't work out, you'll say that istikhara didn't work out. People have made up their own terminology. So you can't say that the istikhara didn't work out. Yes, your interpretation was not right. Now, your interpretation is not right, and you'll push the whole thing onto the istikhara. That istikhara didn't work out. Sometimes this type of a statement is made. The istikhara is showing something else when you turn away a proposal. So you can't say that, you know, we don't like you. We got some habits that are not meeting, not gelling with our tabiat. So they can't say this. So now it's pushing onto the istikhara, because istikhara can't talk. When istikhara can't talk, nobody will say anything. So it's pushing onto. That's also wrong. Don't do these things. As though you're saying that I made dua to Allah Ta'ala, but that dua didn't work out. Why? How do you know that dua didn't work out? Just give some other reason. The girl is not interested now. Leave it at that. You can carry on. She's not interested. Why unnecessarily put the whole blame onto the istikhara? So this is one type of dream that a person sees when his engaged mind is occupied in something, and then you made istikhara, so you saw something that is immediate or related. Sometimes it's immediate and sometimes it's related. So you cannot say that this dream is conclusive. So this happens to others as well. They want you to see something. So they say, alright, make this dua. Make this dua. In the meanwhile, the man, he works with the person's mind. So when he works with that mind, then the tendency is you'll see something. And when you see that, then you know, see what he said is right. So now this is also a dangerous thing, because you're creating an impression that what you have seen is true. Now, how sure can you be that what he saw is genuinely true? How can you say that? Any conclusive evidence? There's no conclusive evidence. But now this person has got the tendency that this thing is like this because I read the dua and I slept and what I saw, and therefore it is like how I had seen. So this is dangerous. You make the person believe that. So these things are not conclusive, and things that are inconclusive, to make them feel as though they are conclusive, that's wrong. Hazrat Tanwi Sahib rahmatullah says that amongst the reasons where a person doesn't have a good death is the things that are inconclusive, he treats them as conclusive. So there are some things that are not conclusive. You got some signs, some indications. Now because of the indication of the sign, and you say it is like this, then it was something that was inconclusive, and you made it look like as though it was conclusive. This is how it works, he says. See, for example, in any issue there is a zanni dalil. In other words, the proof for it is not categorical. Right? And you understood it to be categorical and conclusive. But it is zanni. It's possible, right? It's not conclusive. Zanni means it's probable, possible, but not conclusive. But now you treat the whole thing as though it is conclusive, it's 100%, there's no doubt about it. Like how you'll get some people making Ameen loudly, right? And some saying the Ameen softly. So there is a difference of opinion, and we respect each other. Those are saying it loud, and those that are saying it soft, then we respect each other. So there is no need to fight and say, oh, why are you doing it loudly and why are you doing it softly? But now someone considers this to be a conclusive, this practice of saying it loudly or saying it softly, he says that that's the way. And everything else beside that, that's wrong. Whereas it was based on something that was inconclusive, and you made it turn, you made it look as though it was conclusive. Not conclusive. So what you have said, there is the possibility of it being right, but it is a possibility. We have got greater inclinations to feel that it's right. Our mind is our dominant thought, our calculations and reasoning is taking us to this end, that this is supposed to be done softly, right? But there is the possibility, maybe slim possibility, say out of 100%, 20% possibility that reading it loud is the right way. Because 80% of our mind is saying, no, it's supposed to be done softly, therefore we take it that it's supposed to be done softly. But 20%, there is some evidence to show that it's supposed to be done loudly. So we keep it at that, then it's right. But once the person turns the thing around and says, no, it must be done just like this and no other way, now then he's causing a problem. Now, how the problem starts off? He says, then, Shaitan, he works in your mind. See, he's got some control on the mind, right? Especially when the person is not thinking right, he doesn't trust Allah Ta'ala, his yaqeen is not right. إِنَّمَا سُلْطَانُهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُ وَالَّذِينَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانٌ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. You've got the trust, your yaqeen is right, he can't interfere. But your trust is not entirely in Allah Ta'ala. Your yaqeen is weak. Then he's got a play, he can play with you. So he comes and plays with you. He says, alright, this masla, you know, you consider it to be conclusive, but see, I'm proving it to you that it's inconclusive. Alright, so now you are in a dilemma, alright. So he already turned your mind. When he turned your mind on one issue, then he'll take advantage and he'll work your mind on another issue. So alright, this also falls under something that is inconclusive. So now then he'll work your mind onto those issues that were conclusive. But the way he'll present the thing, that conclusive thing seems to be inconclusive. Now he's going to work on delicate things like kalima, tawheed, etc. And he'll make it appear as though there was inconclusive and you counted it as conclusive. So then you're putting yourself into jeopardy. What this Aimma of the past mentioned, just stick with that. We don't exceed them. Don't go beyond them. Because they did all the homework. When they did all the homework, then it is safe to be with them. The person that feels that I'm a little bit more intelligent and I can understand what they can't understand, I can reason what they cannot reason, he's putting himself into difficulty. I know in Deoband, sometimes you find some petty thieves, right? Petty theft. Maybe someone's watch is missing, or someone's pen is missing. So someone had some amal now. But amal he had now, strange, you look at the thing, you do something on a pot, and the pot will start walking. And walking, you'll see this thing, Bengali chaps are too with that. You'll go into one room, take a turn there. Obviously, there was some jinnat under control, and this is what they are doing. So, as for the jinnat, right, see, there were so many volumes and volumes of kitab and hadith, right? So many thousands of hadith. But is there any hadith that is reported on the authority of a jinn? Not a single hadith. If a durr al-sameen has got something about hadith of jinn, that is just a nukta. It's not to prove and not to verify any evidence. Just a nukta. Or a strange experience, what experience I had. It was not to prove and substantiate. The reason why you can't report a hadith on the authority of a jinn is because how would you verify it? If I say, for example, that this hadith was reported by Mawlana Shoaib, I can go and verify his credentials. How authentic, how reliable. I look at his contemporaries, people that were in his class studying around the same time. Right, what they had to say about him, so I can verify everything, and I can say exactly, all right, this person is so reliable. Why there is an access, I can't go and verify, I can't go and prove, I can't go and make out the person. But you say that this jinnat reported the hadith, how are you going to verify? Is there any way? So therefore they say you can't report a hadith on the authority of a jinn. I mean, they're going to verify, they see everything. Right? Like yesterday, he was talking about Asma bint Umays, radiallahu anha, right? So, Mawlana said, but there's something else here now. Because Asma bint Umays, she had emigrated to Medina Munawara in the 7th year. And Fatima's nikah took place on the 2nd year. So, how could she be there at the time of the nikah? So when they authenticate and they verify, they looked at everything. So modern science also is in a state of dilemma. You know, that these people were so advanced, it's not the scene, they were so advanced in working out the authority and authenticity of any hadith. They'll check it and they'll say from every dimension they will see the thing. And then they say, alright, now this hadith is absolutely authentic. So, don't you think that the hadith is in your hand and it is not reliable? And then, sometimes these terms come about, hadith, za'if, gharib, etc. So for Allah Pak's sake, we don't fall into this thing yet. Because this is a chapter on its own, where you can report a hadith that is za'if, where you can't report. Right? Then what they see in themselves say, إِذَا تَكَلَّمْنَا فِي الْمَسَائِلْ وَالْأَقَائِدْ تَشَدَّدْنَا وَإِذَا تَكَلَّمْنَا فِي الْفَضَائِلْ وَالْمَنَاقِبْ تَسَاهَلْنَا. When we talk about masail, aqaid, etc., we have a very, very rigid approach. The approach is very rigid. We don't spare anybody. We made a small mistake, we say, he's a kadhab. Kadhab is now superlative, you know, exaggerated. Man is a big liar. He's a dajjal. Yes, these are the words that they say, he's a dajjal. So they go very rigid, and they come into masail, they come into aqaid, and they're very rigid. Right? But when they talk about fazail, right, because fazail is not the basis upon which you can construct any law. If you construct a law, there must be a base. So fazail is not used to construct a law. It'll just show you, alright, you do this, then this is the reward, this is the merit. You read namaz with jamaat, then this is salaf. But they will show you. But it's not the basis to construct any law. So here, when they are reporting hadith that is based on fazail, then they are quite lenient, they're soft. Even Imam Bukhari, he's got a kitab, Adabul Mufrad. But you'll find a lot of hadith are not on the standard that he's got in Bukhari Sharif. It's weak, right? But he's reporting it, because these are now, these are hadith that's reporting fazail, right? So that's why I say, it's not for anybody and everybody to say it's za'if and whatever else. He doesn't know what it is. It's a law of its own. It's got a term of its own. But you didn't study the whole thing, and you just say it's za'if. And ask what is za'if, say weak. What's the meaning of weak? Stuck now. At that point you're stuck, you don't know. So, لا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. You don't have a complete knowledge about something, then don't pursue it. Same or you want to know about that, you don't take it, and don't take it on yourself. Don't say, I'll find out from the Mawlana and tell you. Because it may be that you didn't get it right. You didn't get it fully. So you're misreporting. So you say, see, I don't know about this thing, but you can come to a Mawlana, he will explain that to you. So why must you take the whole responsibility upon yourself? Why must you do that? That's also a mistake. Even this Tabligh Jamaat started in the movement, right? So my mother used to tell me, she was active in the Jamaat, that sometimes some masail come up. And that time in Durban, the senior most alim was Mawlana Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, him and Mawlana Ansari. So Umar Ji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayh, they would generally refer to him. I suppose because the language, Gujarati, all that, so they could easily communicate with him. So Mawlana warned the Mastura Jamaat, says, see, the one has got a problem, he must write up to us. You all don't refer and answer. Because in that interim, in the transit, there may be some misreporting. Because the Mastura sometimes, ye be here, or ye here. Now, it makes a world of a difference. Ye be here, or ye here. Or yahi hai. See, one odd words, how you can just capsize the whole meaning. Says, Mawlana says, you all send the question in writing, and we'll give the answer in writing. So there is no misreporting. There is no misconstruing. I showed you this morning, إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ فَلَانٌ. It was written, فَقْبَلُوا. But so easily it's misconstrued, فَقْتُلُوا. And what a big confusion it creates after that. One small, just nukta kafa, and what a problem it creates. So, the one type of hadith, the first type of dream is called hadithun nafs. Then the second type of dream is called taswirul shaitan. Shaitan tries to frighten the person. So, he'll give you a frightening dream, or he creates a doubt in your mind. Now the doubt can be done in different ways. Sometimes the doubt can be that this person is against you. This person is your enemy. I remember I was in Mias Farm, right? I was in Mias Farm. So one student that was studying with us. So he says, you know, I saw this person here throttling me, choking me like this, killing me. I want to go after him, I want to finish him up. But he saw this in the dream. When he saw this in the dream, he's taking it as real. That this person really is my enemy, is after my life. So I'm going to go and finish him up. So I said, see, you don't take anything in your hands. They are senior ulama. We'll go refer this to Mufti Sanjalvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, Rasul Ustad at that time. Let's see what he has to say about it. So the whole case, I presented it to him. It's a little bit of a dangerous thing, because this person wants to take the law in his hand. An innocent person will get hurt just now. So, I refer the dream that this person saw that that person is choking, attempting to kill, murder him. So, Mustafa said, perhaps he had asked him for some assistance, and this person refused. See? He asked him for some assistance, so he refused. And that's what he saw. So I told him, this is what Mr. Zab said. He said, yeah, you know, someone was desperate in the house. I asked him for some money, you know, just for 50 rand. That time 50 rand was big money. 1971, forget. So that time 50 rand was big money, because that was the salary of a person. Average salary of a middle class 50-60 events. So I asked him for the 50 rands. He had the money, but he didn't give me. So I was worked up. And that's what I saw. But lucky you found out. So my mind is now clear that this person doesn't have any evil intentions against me. But now you see how people take these things here. You know, when this building started here, Madrasa building, so many people, they take the dreams very seriously. Like an inspiration came, like a revelation came. So we have to carry it out. So one worker is a little bit more formal, informal, very informal joke and all that. But now they take dreams very, very seriously. He says, you know, Fundis, I said, what happened? You know, I saw a dream that you were giving me 20 rand. I said, no, it's absolutely true. But you know what I saw? I saw that you were giving me 200 rand. Now, where to start now? He's shocked now. He doesn't know where to start from. Because if dreams are true and accurate, as they say, right, then what you saw is right, what I saw is right also. Where do we start from? So we don't base things on dreams. That's why in the 80s, right, when I came back from India, 79-80, around that time, so a lot of people were having good dreams about Tabligh Jamaat. Some would say Rasulullah Taqsir, some Sahaba Kiram, etc. Very good dreams. But I told Hadi Sahab, Rahmatullah, Hadi Sahab, don't explain this in the Bayan. He said, Ki Mahmoodji, what's wrong? He saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, why shouldn't we give it? So I said, if you are trying to support the Jamaat work through a dream, there's a lot of people with different mindsets, different khayalat, right? He's got a different thought, his approach is different. What will it take him to make up a dream that I saw this? You supporting your dream, you are supporting your work on a dream. And he would do the same. He would support his work on a dream. So how are you going to verify what you saw is right and what he saw wasn't right? How are you going to verify it? There's no way you're going to verify the thing. So you don't support it just based on a dream. Yes, in a private circle where you want two people, you say this is a basharat I've got. That's excellent. But now, from a public platform, you don't do this thing. So this, like I said, the second category is called tasweel. Now this tasweel is a very broad thing. Sometimes, man is coming, the dream is appearing in the form of a saint now, or a buzruk, right? And now you think, I saw such a saintly person, must be true. So sometimes shaitan is playing around with you. How is playing around? He's playing around in this way, that he's making you feel that you're very pious. So you saw something great, so what he's doing, subtly, discreetly, he's playing in your mind, it makes you feel that you're very, very pious. So when you are made to feel that you're pious, now you're getting into ujb, no? Self-admiration. And when you got into self-admiration and pride, then it's easy to just drop you off, just to trip you thereafter. It's very easy, because you became a victim of self-admiration and pride. When you see this, and when you see this thing here, and you saw that thing, and so on. It is absolutely true, you know. And so people don't understand my maqam, you know. I'm such a great person. So that's why, see, with righteousness and all, you know, if you learn suluk, alright, then some basic masail also must be understood. You can't just do suluk and you don't know the basic masail, you don't know the wajibat, you don't know the sunan, you don't know the mustahabbat, you don't know the makruhat, you don't know what is permissible, what is impermissible, you don't know these things. So such a person, when he doesn't know it, then he can become a prey to the straight thoughts of shaitan. Shaitan can just drop it very quickly. He must have, you know, parallel knowledge, must have this knowledge. Otherwise, he can just drop. And in good intentions, his intentions are good. His intentions are not corrupt. But he can become a victim of the trick of shaitan, because he is not sound in this knowledge. So this knowledge will keep the person straight. People want to know about Taqdeer and Tashri, right? There's a difference. One is taqdeer and one is tashri, right? But for our ease and convenience, let me tell you. Taqdeer and tashri, right? So tashri, but you say shariat, right? So shariat is for the smooth administration of life, right? Smooth administration for the physical self. For the physical self, you will have everything running smooth when there is a shariat, there is a law. If there is no law, there is no shariat, then there is no law. When there is no law, then you can imagine the chaos, how chaotic it will be, right? Because there's no law, it's governing. So you need to have the sharia. The sharia will make life easy, manageable, enjoyable, right? Like for example, the sharia will say, this is his property, you can't touch it. Right? So the sharia is guarding that person's property. You touch that person's property, you see, it's a big sin. Your namaz Allah will reject. Why? You're stealing, you're robbing. Now the sharia will look after the life. It will look after the property, it will look after life. It makes the life smooth, administration good, and overall it's a blessing for the administration, the visible administration. Everything comes right when there is the law of the sharia. Right. And then if you look at taqdeer, right, taqdeer, what it does, taqdeer gives you a mental peace, mind is a peace and ease. Right. I'm just showing you what it does to you, not showing what it is, but what it does to you, it gives you the mental ease. Now you may ask how it gives you the mental ease. Right. Ma kullu shay'in yashtahihi al-mar'u yudrikuhu. Right. وَتَجْرِ الرِّيَاحُ بِمَا لَا تَشْتَهِهِ السُّفُونُ. So, in this world, أَمْلِ الْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّ. You get everything that you desire for. Are you working for something and it didn't work out? You failed, something happened. Then, if there isn't the concept of taqdeer, then your mind will just go in circles. You know, I did this, so therefore this thing didn't work out. Because he didn't do his part, therefore this thing happened. He wasn't careful on the road, so this was an accident. Because of this accident, this person died. Had he not drove the car like that, there wouldn't have been an accident, and this person wouldn't have died. I ask you, can you come out of the chakkar? You can't come out. See, about 7 or 8 months or 1 year ago, right? One anesthetic, nice, good person. They say he's a good person, Muslim, and he was shot, right? So he administered the right type of medication. Whole procedure was right. But the family of the deceased, they felt there was some foul play. Right. They said, no, he didn't do his work right. So this person proved it to him. The medical fraternity proved it to him. He did everything according to procedure. Now when he followed procedure, everything was immaculate 100%. So you can't blame him for it. But now you see, no belief in taqdeer. When you don't believe in taqdeer, your mind is taking you in a chakkar, in a circle. Yeah, he was the cause. Had he not done this, this child wouldn't have died. Because he did this, therefore this child passed away. So now they can't get out of it. So when they can't get out of it, now they have to come and kill the person. See? Now, see, the absence of the belief of taqdeer is what it leads you to. But if you got the belief in taqdeer, or you made your research, now this person did it right, so there is no reason for us now to hurt the person. But minus the belief of taqdeer, what it does to the person, how funny the person can act. And you can't come out of that chakkar, that circle, you can't come out of it. And taqdeer, someone died, alright, a covert order. If you don't have the belief in the taqdeer, then you say, now, you know, this person, he murdered. What? He murdered. He came to the masjid, so he had it, he passed it to that person. When he passed it to that person died. So now, he's a murderer. See now, how they take it. They're saying that he's a murderer, but no law will support him when he says, alright, he must be thrown into prison for life sentence. He's a murderer, so a murderer, life sentence. No law says that. But you see now the chakra, that confusion it creates. This confusion comes when you don't believe in Taqdeer. But when you believe in Taqdeer, alright, you adopted the whatever precautionary measures you had to adopt. Right? You adopted some precautionary measures, took some medication, whatever else. Then the person died. Class now, he took the medication, you adopted the precautionary measures. Then he died. Now that's Taqdeer. Allah wanted it that way. And he wanted this virus to be the cause of that person's death. So what? Let it be now. You can't stop Allah's plan. Can you stop Allah's plan? You can't stop the plan. So this whole Taqdeer now, because we didn't understand. Now that is a mental relief. But the Taqdeer, belief in the Taqdeer is a mental relief. And if there is no belief, or the belief is short there, then your mind is in a turmoil. Active, yes, discerning. You can't stop the thing. Why you can't stop it? Because you don't believe in it. And you believe in it, there's a mental calm. You may have a difficulty to come to terms with it. But after that, besides a mental calm, it's also a spiritual correction. It corrects you spiritually as well. When Allah speaks about Taqdeer, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. And he says, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. Right? When you have, you gain something, it was something that you gained, right? Some perfection, some goal you gained, right? So, minus the belief in Taqdeer, then you'll say, no, hey, I did it, we did it. See that? You become proud, arrogant, you want to show off, right? See that? Ostentation, show, pride, self-admiration, right? So, the whole West is involved in this. Show, ostentation, pride, we did this, we did this. We scored the goal. Our team, we did, see. So, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرْحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. That you may not be proud for the achievements, for what you have gained, that you're not proud about it. Because you say, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا. See, the Taqdeer, it is also improving your mind. See, no, it was, Allah Ta'ala had decreed it in advance. Allah Ta'ala had decreed it. So therefore, this happened. It by the will of Allah Ta'ala, إِنِّي فَاِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَيَّشَالَ. Don't say anything without saying, it be the will of Allah Ta'ala. So you will say everything, it's the will of Allah Ta'ala, it happened, it had to happen, it was unavoidable. Why? Because it was the will of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah also wants you to take the necessary precautions. وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. He says, right, you're going to war, but take your precautions as well. He didn't say, no, just believe in Taqdeer and don't take your precautions. You take the necessary precautions, average level precautions you take. But then assign the whole thing to Allah Ta'ala. At the end, what Allah Pak will, it will happen. Musa alayhi salam also is accompanying Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam, and he has to say him, Satajiduni insha'Allah sabira wa la asi lak amra. By the will of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak willing, I'll restrain. I won't interrupt you, right? Wala asi lak amra, I won't disobey you also. I won't disobey the rules. I'll keep to it. Right? So he had to say inshallah. Because you don't know what the future holds. So now, the belief in Taqdeer, it helps you in this way. Spiritually also, it is governing you. It is saving you. Saving you from ostentation, pride, show self-admiration. لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ. It saves you also from depression, despondency. Hey, we worked and we worked. The thing didn't work. It didn't work out. I proposed for that girl, man. And everything was right. But this person came and snookered me. Now that is such a big problem now. I did this. And we did all. We were in agreement, And there was talk and, we were exchanging some gifts and all. Everything happened. But this came and he spoiled the whole thing. So now you get into a rut, you get into a depression, into a despondency. And the belief in taqdeer says you, right? You tried, it wasn't meant for you, it didn't happen, khalas, end of the story. Or you'll feel for that moment that it, you know, had it worked, it would have been excellent, right? But then the belief in taqdeer, it supports you from despondency, from depression. Now look at the pious, right? Pious of the past. Do it with a sahaba or ghair a sahaba. So one person is a non-Arab. He wants to send a proposal, right? So he got an Arab, perhaps a sahabi, that we need to propose for this girl. But of course I'm not from the town, I'm a foreigner, so they don't know me so well. But now you, the acquainted, they know you. So when you want to send the proposal, they'll listen to you. Because they know you. And me, I'm an outsider. When I'm an outsider, so they won't receive me so well. So I would desire that you send this proposal for me. Yeah. Mere bhai ka kaam to mera kaam hai. My brother's need is my need. Like I will see to my need, I must see to his need as well. He goes in for the proposal. Now coming out of the house, it took him some time. What was supposed to be done in 10 minutes, he took about 2 hours to come out. So now, I said, but kya ho gaya? What happened? Just, I feel so embarrassed. I'm feeling so, so embarrassed. What happened? Tell me what happened. Too embarrassed to tell you. That girl, right, they declined it when they heard that you are an outsider, a foreigner, speaking a different language, so they turned you out. Meman, Surti, Gujarati, and Urdu, all that, they turned it out, right? But when they saw me, they said, alright, if it's for you, we don't mind. So I made the nikah, we did everything and came out. Now, this person, the actual person, he says, no, you know what, it's my fault, it's not your fault. But you see the belief in taqdeer, how it helps the person, how it controls your mind. The absence of the belief in taqdeer, it brings about a misery. And the belief in taqdeer brings about a relief, comfort, ease. Your iman is safe, your character is safe, your akhlaq is safe, and minus the belief in taqdeer, everything goes. You are like a mental wreck now. He says, you see what, it's my fault because this girl was in your taqdeer. I shouldn't even have a desire for her. I shouldn't have even thought about her. Because she's meant for you. When she's meant for you, why did I think about her? Had I thought about it carefully, kept on making dua, etc., etc., then my mind wouldn't have gone in this direction. But now I didn't, I was deficient in that regards perhaps, and my mind slipped in that direction, and I had to ask you to send a proposal. Had I not done this, this would happen. Now I am feeling ashamed that I must ask you for a maaf. But now you see this belief in taqdeer, and what it does to the person's mind. See how beautiful the verse is. So this taqdeer improves your thinking, improves your behavior, improves your akhlaq, saves you from despondency, saves you from depression. Now that's all the beauty of taqdeer. The belief of it is so sound. It's by Allah Pak's will, it not supposed to happen, it didn't happen. Anas Sadiyah says, I was in the service of Rasulullah Pak for 10 years. He says, ma kullu shayin faltuhu. It wasn't that everything that I did, Rasulullah Pak liked, you know. But he never tell me if I did something what I was not supposed to be doing. He didn't ask me, why did you do it? And something that I was supposed to be doing and I didn't carry it out, he didn't ask me, why didn't you do it? Now that means Rasulullah Rasulullah's belief in taqdeer was the ultimate. So alright, I asked him to do it, but it wasn't the taqdeer, so he didn't do it. It wasn't taqdeer, so he did it. But you see, the spirits are still running. After Uhud, they can still go to Khandaq. Although there's casualties, Hamza is there, all these things happening. But the spirits are not down. By the will of Allah Ta'ala, this thing happened. But that, when it's the will of Allah Ta'ala, then nobody can prevent it. When you can't prevent it, you must carry on. So from Uhud, they go on to Khandaq. And after that, then he says, Al-an, naghzuhum wala yaghzunana. Now the Quraysh, now they cannot fight us. We will march upon them. Now they don't have the belief in Taqdeer. So the whole spirit of fight was all gone. Al-an, naghzuhum wa la yaghzuna. See the belief in Taqdeer. So this belief now, it has to be rooted. In my understanding, it will save you from hypertension, it will save you from sugar, all these things will save you. But that belief has to be gone very deep, very deep. That Allah's will, it happened, it had to happen this time, this date, this place, this person. It had to happen in this way. So it happened, it was unavoidable. So, on account of Taqdeer, you cannot say that I had to do it because of my Taqdeer. You can't say that. You will follow the Sharia, the law. And then whatever comes out of it, then you'll be happy. You went to war at Uhud, right? And you suffered the loss. So the law of the Sharia is to go. Uzina lil-ladina yuqataluna bi-annahum zulim, right? Because the law, they went out. They suffered the loss, now Taqdeer had it. Class. End of the story. Full stop. So they didn't say, hey, you know, we are forced to go into this thing here. They didn't say that. What, now it's a mango and in season, you know. And now the lockdown now, so they're not even exporting the mango. So the choice grades, A grade, first grade, is giving it to the local market. Now one person, he saw that mango tree, and choice, man. He couldn't resist. Some people, they can't resist. They see something like, how you get children now, they can't restrain themselves. They see something, they can't restrain. So he went for that mango. Now the boss is seeing, alright, man, he's going for the mango. Maybe he couldn't resist now. No, 2-3 mangoes this way, that way, not a big thing. But the boss is saying now, hey, he's got a big, big sack here, and he's spinning 1, 2, 300, 200. Like, please. Hey, this is not order. 2-3, alright, in the on the house. But now, 200 is filling inside. What will be left for me now? So the boss now tells him, but what are you doing? He said, you don't have the right to tell me anything. This tree belongs to Allah Ta'ala. The mango belongs to Allah Ta'ala. I belong to Allah Ta'ala. My hand is Allah Ta'ala's. My mouth is Allah Ta'ala's, right? Right? So Allah Pak's hand took Allah Pak's mango and put it into Allah Pak's mouth. So you have no right to say anything. Oh, alright. Iska bhi hum ilaaj karenge. We'll sort you out. So he said, Temba kamjara. Breathe the shabbo, breathe the string. So Temba comes with the shabbo and he comes with the string. Alright. Temba, just put him down. Put him down. Like, fasten him up. Now he's shambling him. What, why are you hitting me? I told you it was Allah Pak's. So he's saying, yeah, see, Temba is Allah Pak's. The string is Allah Pak's. The shambok is Allah Pak's. You are Allah Pak's. So Allah Pak's shambok is hitting Allah Pak's servant. So I ask you, in the absence of Sharia, will there be any system, any administration, anything can go work? Can anything work right? Nothing. So the Sharia is a blessing for the external life, for administration, right? For the physical dimension, it's a blessing. And Taqdeer is a blessing for the mind. It's such a blessing, really, it's such a blessing. You know, I really feel pity for the people that don't believe. What mental turmoil they may be going through. In a turmoil, they can't get out of it. They can't just get out of it. Person is gone now, so what happened? Had he been here, then what we would have done? Now he's not here, so what happens? So the mind just goes in a circle. You can't come out of the circle. But you see that the blessing of the Sharia and the blessing of Taqdeer, both are blessings. But understand it in perspective, you will enjoy it. So the second I spoke about was Tasweer Minash Shaitan. And there's a third one, that's Ru'ya Haq, right? True dreams, or that some other, you know.